Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to do a part three on being led by the Holy Spirit. And today, I feel impressed to talk about how the Holy Spirit will lead you to recognize the adversary who's coming against your mind. Because we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where Satan is ruler of the darkness of this world. And Jesus said that he's the God of this world. Now, we know that Jesus is king and God is ruler. But in this earth, we have an adversary here that's out to destroy our soul, to come against our life. And we need to know how to fight him. And the best way to do that is through submission to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but also about being led by the Holy Spirit so he can teach you. And we will start with the scripture in John chapter 14 as well as John chapter 16. And we will talk about these things. But before we do that, as my custom is, I want to introduce my beautiful, lovely, wonderful, amazing, out of this world bride that God has given me the gift of all gifts, after the Holy Spirit, after being born again, of course. She is the greatest thing that God's given to me.
Hi, everyone. What an introduction. And I did not even pay for that. It is so good, once again, to be here obeying the Lord and doing what he has commanded us to do. And it is such a pleasure. I want to ask you to make sure that you are truly listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, because every time the Holy Spirit deposits truth into our heart, our mind, our soul, good things happen. Good things happen. So let's get started and let's start learning and start walking in this truth.
Amen, sweetheart. Yes, you didn't pay for that, but you know what? You deserved every bit of it.
Thank you, God's grace.
Okay, so we're going to start with John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." This is one of the awesome benefits of having the Holy Spirit in you, is that he can teach you all things. What does he mean by all things? He's going to teach you how many stars are in the constellation. He's going to teach you how many grains of sand are on the seashore. No, he's talking about all things pertain to life and godliness. Everything that you need to know for your life that's according to his will and plan for your life. And you know what? We talked about this yesterday, that he knows all things. And who better to submit to allow to lead your life than God himself through his Amen. Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he knows all things. Now, we also want to look at John chapter 16, verse 13, which is, I see as my companion verse to this scripture. He says in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come." So we have these two scriptures saying that he will guide you into all truth, not speak on his own, but what he hears, he will speak. He will show you or tell you of things to come. And then verse 14, 26, that he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that he has said to you. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is to be your teacher and your guide. And what no better guide in life? You know, people like to talk about, you know, people that they look up to and admire and how they'd like to sit under and learn from some of these guys and that they call gurus, you know, somebody who's really good in real estate or somebody who's good in business and different, business adventures, you know, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Elon Musk and many others like that, and Donald Trump, you know, even before he became president, you know, wow, the knowledge that they have, and certainly they have a lot of knowledge in their areas of expertise, and people will pay thousands of dollars. to sit and listen to them. But yet we got the one who created them. And he got the one who created all of us, whose knowledge goes far beyond all of us put together. Every human being that's ever been born throughout history, every genius mind, Einstein, all of them, you know, God possesses more knowledge and wisdom than all human beings ever created put together.
Amen.
And so that was so amazing to me is he lives on the inside of us.
That's amazing and powerful. And once again, we always have to remind our listeners, we know that they know this, but remind, I think, ourselves and just say it 1,000 times per day, God is so good. God is so good that he would give us the Holy Spirit to abide inside of us, to guide us like this. And you know, and as you were reading the prior verse, where following that verse on the Holy Spirit, where the Lord says that he's given us a comforter, the next verse, it says, I'm giving you my peace. And it is impossible to disconnect the Holy Spirit with peace. And I just want to quickly mention that because I know that we're living in times where sometimes peace doesn't abound in people's hearts, and there's just anxiety and fear, and you know, and people want, who doesn't want peace? But it is so beautiful to know that the Holy Spirit, he is given to us so that we may have peace. And I think that's something important for us to focus on, that whenever we feel that we are lacking peace, we should ask the Holy Spirit what's going on, because he is in us to give us peace. And that's a biggie. And also, when you were speaking also on this verse, the Holy Spirit is in verse, John 16, verse 14. It speaks about Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus. And I know our listeners know, I know that. But just in case there is someone out there who is listening up to speaking about the Spirit, we want to make sure that we all understand that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is that he glorifies Jesus. If there is another spirit that is being sold or presented to us, because sometimes Christians, we also get things, you know, we see, we hear, we see things presented, and we have to discern. But if anything is presented to us that is not glorifying Jesus, that is not from God. It is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is in us to guide us, to give us peace, and to glorify Jesus. So I just wanted to reinforce those truths so that our listeners, and just to make sure that we are all on the same page.
Amen. Thanks for that contribution, sweetheart, because it is important to cover these things, because there's a lot of people out there who talk about, you know, being in touch with the higher power.
Exactly.
Or their, you know, even such things as their spirit guide,
right,
or their animal spirit, or all kinds of terminology that they have. And yet, you know, in some abstract way, they believe that's God or the spirits of God, you know, angels of God. And yet, like you said, if it's not pointing people to Jesus, then that spirit is not from God.
And some people think it's harmless, but it's not harmless. If it's not from God, it is harmful.
Yes, because it's nothing but bait.
Right.
You know, a worm on a hook looks very harmless to a fish until he bites down on it.
That's right.
And then he's hooked.
That's
a
good example.
He's got him. And so even, you know, kind of what you're reading there and following that verse 26 in chapter 14, you know, about the peace. Interestingly, he goes after that, he says, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away. This is in verse 28. If you have loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, verse 29, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Mm-hmm. See, he's talking about Satan.
That's right.
And there's basically two kingdoms in the world, only two kingdoms. It's God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, and we are either in one or the other. And, of course, I'm just adding stuff here as commentary. But here in verse 31, he says, but the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so do I. Arise, let's go from here. And he continues on in the next chapter, talking about he's the true vine, and he is the way, as we're told in other scriptures. And matter of fact, in John 14:6, he says over here that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
So this is only a way of salvation. That's and right. The Holy Spirit is given through Jesus Christ. We mentioned that in a previous podcast. Mm-hmm. And so getting to back to where I'm wanting to go with this podcast is getting people to understand that one of the benefits, ask yourself this, we want to try to pose some questions to get people to think. What is the benefit of just being saved versus being saved and receiving the Holy Spirit? You say, well, the Holy Spirit seals you for the day of redemption so that, you're one of God's possessions. You're born of his Spirit and you can go to heaven. But could it be possible that God could have made it a different way? That all you needed to do is just believe that Jesus died on the cross and then when you died, you went to heaven. Why do you need to receive the Holy Spirit? Why does he need to be in you? Is it simply just because he wants you to be sons of God? But what would that even mean in terms of your life on earth? What's the benefit of that? Ask yourself this question, you as a listener. What is the benefit of receiving the Holy Spirit other than being sealed for redemption to go to heaven? What benefit does he give you on this earth?
That's a good question.
And so we mentioned this in one of the previous parts, is that he's there to sanctify us and purify us and to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that's one of the main purposes he has.
That's
he's
right.
Also to guide us into our calling of what we're called to do, our vocation that God has ordained for our lives. But he's also to also guide us into dealing with the enemy that's on the earth.
Mm.
And there is an enemy arrayed against our soul. Just because we get saved and get born again does not mean we're immune from attacks from the enemy. Nor does it mean that God's automatically going to take care of the devil for us because we're saved. Or does it mean automatically Satan's going to leave you alone because now you belong to God?
That's a very good point.
Right. And so with that, we have to become equipped. So it's not enough to be saved. We need now to become equipped. And who better can equip us than God himself living on the inside of us by his Holy Spirit to be able to handle this? Now, somebody says, well, I don't understand why all this is necessary. Because some people talk about the devil so much, he's like they see a devil behind every bush. All I know is we need to believe in Jesus and follow him and follow his teachings, and we'll be good to go, and the devil cannot do anything. But yet, interestingly, Jesus spent a third of his ministry talking about the devil and the works of the enemy and what we need to do, and his apostles followed that same thing. Why would Paul need to tell us in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil?
That's true.
And they tell us what the pieces of the armor are and what we need to do in putting it on. Because we are arrayed against our souls, against the enemy, the adversary of our soul, the devil, and we need to know how to stand against him. We are called into a battle. And Jesus even said himself in Matthew 11, it's somewhere around 28. Let me turn back there. I can quote it, but I think a lot of people need to see this.
As you're looking for the verse, I remember somebody once mentioned that when you are born again, some people think that you're signing up for a cruise ship, but you're not. You're coming into a battleship.
Yeah, that's very good. It's not... exactly where I'm looking for that scripture. So if you got something you want to add here while I'm looking this up, sweetheart.
Yes, and I think this is so important because one of the tactics that the enemy uses is that he actually makes people believe that there is no threat. And that's the greatest danger, when you don't think that there's any threat or any danger, when you don't think that you actually have an enemy. So part of the teaching that the Holy Spirit gives us, the revelation, is that we do have an enemy. And this is not something that we can just guess. You know, when we become Christians, when we are born again, we have to take this very seriously, in the sense that we have to learn what this means. We have to understand as best as possible what does it mean now that I am born again? What am I to expect? And one of the things that we definitely have to learn is who is for us, but we also have to learn who is against us.
That's exactly true, sweetheart, because you know, we're like you said, we're not called to, you know, go live on a cruise ship or on a fantasy island. After we get saved, we are called to battle.
That's right.
You know, and of course, we're not talking about a physical battle of trying to go fight against people. We're talking about spiritual warfare.
Exactly.
Fighting against spiritual forces of darkness that are in the spiritual realm. And Jesus says this here, and I don't know why I said Matthew 11:28, because I know that's "come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Somehow I just kind of mixed up there for a moment. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, he's talking about John the Baptist. He says, "Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, before I get to the next verse, let's think about that for a minute. If no one born of women is greater than John the Baptist, then what in the world does it mean that he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he? You know, think about that for a few moments. And what God has revealed to me, and that is this, that John the Baptist, him born of women.
Right.
Now, the next group of people he's talking about is those who are in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about those who are born again of the Spirit.
Of course.
And now they are sons of God. See, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they were servants of God. It wasn't until they become born of the Spirit under the new covenant through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection that the Holy Spirit was given to live within a person. And when he came to live within a person, they are born again. They are sons and daughters of God. And so they are greater. What are they greater at? Or why are they considered greater? They are sons of God, not servants of God, but they also have been given a position of authority that the servants of God did not have. And here it says in verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." That's powerful words.
That is.
And most people have not really wrapped their mind around that concept. What does that mean? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. See, Jesus came along from the time of John the Baptist, and he began preaching the repentance and walking in the power of the Spirit. It says that after he had went into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil for 40 days, it said he came back to Galilee in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
And miracles, healings, deliverances, casting out demons, all these things started taking place. And so now what we're seeing is a new order of someone who has come to subjugate the enemy, who's been subjugating human beings for centuries. Satan had a domination on man ever since the fall of Adam. When Adam and Eve relinquished their authority, is what they did, to Satan, he became the ruler of this world. This is why Jesus said that he would not talk with him much longer, for the ruler of this world was coming and he had nothing in him. But see, when Jesus came along and he paid the price, sacrificed his life on the cross, He gave us legal authority now over the enemy. Amen. To take back what Satan had stolen from Adam.
Amen.
And so when he says, you know, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, and from the days of John the Baptist and now, to now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. He's saying now we have to rise up in the power of God's Spirit, and we have to take back what the devil has stolen.
Amen.
Because he's stolen people's lives. He's stolen their peace. He's stolen their joy. He's stolen their future. He's stolen their hope. He'll steal anything he can steal. And this is why Jesus made it very clear when he said in John 10:10, for the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's not anything good in any of those three things that he just mentioned. And actually, you look at it, steal, kill, and destroy is like a progression of worse from bad to worse. He will take anything he can get from a person to ultimately trying to destroy their entire life. And yet, we as born-again Christians have now been given authority and power to rise up against that. And how are we going to do that? Because we're flesh and blood. The only way we can do that is with God inside of us, the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and to lead us. And if a person listening thinks, well, you know what? You know, I don't have no problem with the devil. I can deal with him. Here's a newsflash for you. Satan has total domination over your life anytime. He wants to have it. If you think for 1 minute that you can do anything without God in your life, without Jesus in your life, because without the Holy Spirit in you, you're no match for the devil.
No.
Not one chance do you have any kind of authority or power over him. You may think you do because he's left you alone. But you know what? Keep talking like that and you'll find out real quick, you know, because he is the God of the world, of this world, the darkness of this world. And anyone who's not born of the Spirit is under his domination, under his control. And yet we know every day, all you got to do is turn on the news. People being murdered, people being killed, all kinds of things, have wars happening around the world. It's just insane the things that's happening to people around the world. And people seem sometimes to be oblivious to it because it ain't happening to them until it happens to them. You know, okay, you turn the news on and you see, you know, 50 people, children get shot up in the school. What do those little kids have to do with any of that? What did they do wrong? Not a thing. Innocent little children getting shot by some deranged teenage kid, generally, that comes in there. We said, well, you know what? That's the problem is with that kid. He needs to be taught. But the thing is, what they don't realize is, Satan is the god of this world, and unless you're under Jesus's authority in his name, you're no match for the enemy. You need all the protection you can get, and you need the Holy Spirit abiding in you to be able to be in any kind of way to defend yourself against the adversary, because it would make no sense at all to say this. Use this as an analogy. You know, would someone dare to walk into a lion's den just to walk in there just to see what might happen?
No, absolutely not.
Or to walk in a jungle knowing that there's tigers and there's panthers and deadly serpents and all kinds of things, and to go on a hike through a jungle like in the Amazon without some kind of guide to help them? One is they may get lost and then they're stuck and they can starve to death, but then be eaten by wild animals or be, you know, killed by some tribal people who are cannibals.
Right.
You know, so all kinds of evil can happen. And so most people know this. It's not a good idea. It's not a smart idea at all to try to go wander into the jungle, into thousands of miles of jungle on their own. But yet people want to live their life on their own, thinking, well, it's no big deal. You know, God is, he'll take care of me. But how's he going to do that?
You know, it's less dangerous trying to navigate the jungle on your own than it is to live life without Jesus.
Well, you've got a point there. But you talk about the immediate dangers.
That's right.
You know, because a person can go on years and years and think, well, there's nothing to lose. And then, of course, when they die, they find out they lost their own soul.
Right.
But, you know, you go in a jungle, you might probably won't last but 2 weeks. You know, so, you know, I use that analogy because it's something to think of, something in the immediate, you know, present time that can happen to somebody. And nor would somebody say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to go over to Afghanistan and I'm going to spread, you know, the gospel, Christianity, or I'm going to go there and live my own life and do what I want. The Taliban is in control of Afghanistan at this present time. And it's a dangerous thing to live there if you don't submit and surrender under their authority, because they'll kill you. They don't allow freedom of religion. They don't allow Christians to witness to others. Matter of fact, if they find anybody who's a Christian, they will kill them. Simple like that. They don't give them a place to live. They don't have that, well, okay, you can have your religion and keep it to yourself. No, they will kill you because they don't want any of that in their country. So this is the thing, what we're talking about here. Satan is the god of this world, and it only takes the power of God's Holy Spirit to be able to stop him. This is the only thing that can stop him. And so what we're saying is you need the Holy Spirit in you to guide you into the daily affairs of life, as well as to guide you and navigate your life around obstacles that's in your way. And Satan is out there to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give you life. Amen. And life more abundantly. And you can live in this world and Satan can't touch you. Because what does it say in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He what? Will make me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. And he even talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Wow, that's a place of divine protection. That's a place of God's favor on you where the enemy cannot touch you. And you need the Holy Spirit for many reasons. And that is one of the reasons, is so that he can protect you and guide you and navigate your life around the various dangerous obstacles that are in this world.
This teaching, Amod, is so powerful. I certainly encourage the listeners. I don't know about you, but I feel like I just need to listen to this again and again. And I encourage, and we encourage listeners to do that, right? The beauty of these podcasts is that you're not limited to just hearing it once and it's going to disappear or erase. You need to listen to this again and again. And if you love someone, you will want to share this with them, because here you are, we're teaching, we're talking by the guidance of the Holy Spirit on the importance of knowing who is your enemy, what is your threat, but not to create fear, on the contrary, but to share with you what are the means of defense that you have, and what is the only mean of survival, which is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. You know, it's so simple. It is so simple. Listen, had we had the power to defeat the enemy on our own, defeat sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. We could have done it ourselves, but we were not a match. We could not do it. You and I could not defeat darkness, cannot defeat death. So Jesus himself came because he was the only way. So we have to understand that we need Jesus. And that is such a powerful truth that we cannot live without. Listen, this is the difference between living as a defeated Christian and living as a victorious Christian. This is the difference between having peace and not having peace, having hope and not having hope. So this is wonderful. Thank you so much, Amor, for taking the time to do this. This is gold, and we certainly hope that the listeners value this and treasure it, and as I said, also share it with others. Now, we also want to remind those that have not given their heart to the Lord, you need to not only listen to this, but you need to run to Jesus. Here we are sharing the truth of what happens to born-again believers, believers that already have God inside their heart, already have the Holy Spirit, and the enemy is out to kill and destroy. Now, what do you think happens to those that are defenseless, vulnerable, without any defense at all? You need to run to Jesus. Don't become bait for the enemy. Let's give our heart to the Lord. What does the Bible say? That all of us were separated from God. And you know what? That's exactly how the enemy wants to keep you, separated from God. But the one who made you doesn't want you to stay separated from him. He wants you to be reconciled. And so he sent Jesus to die on the cross to defeat the enemy of your soul. And he wants to give you eternal life. And what do you have to do? You have to admit, one, that you are a sinner, yes, and you need Jesus. And the Bible says that if we confess Jesus as Savior, as Lord, he is so good. He'll forgive your sins and he abides in you. So this is an amazing thing.
And yes, there's nothing more important, sweetheart, than a person having a relationship with the Lord. They need to be born again first and foremost. So in coming to a conclusion on this particular podcast, we want to come back to the beginning where we posed a question about why is it important to have the Holy Spirit in us? And obviously, we talked about one of those reasons is because of the evil one that's in the world and how the Holy Spirit can navigate our life around those, you know, dangers and those pitfalls. And so I would think that perhaps in the next podcast, we might talk a little bit more about that if the Lord leads.
That's right.
You know, in terms of, you know, maybe you don't live in a dangerous country like Afghanistan or North Korea or wherever, you know, and think, well, you know, you don't have, that don't relate to you. But yet still, even in a country like the United States where we're at, there's still an enemy arrayed against our soul. And there are still people committing suicide. There's still people committing murder. There's still people doing evil things. And people under attack of the enemy where even, you know, depression and anxiety and fear and all kinds of things are plaguing people. You know, there was a time not long ago when antidepressant medication was the number one prescribed medication by doctors.
Wow.
And it only fell to maybe second or third place somewhere around there now because of other medications such as, you know, high blood pressure and diabetes and things like that. But still, it's one of the leading medications that people are being prescribed with. And not only that, but you see commercials on TV now where they're talking about adding another supplement of depression medication to your depression medication. So that shows you right there that the enemy is busy attacking people, even God's people. And I'm not going to say here that all depression is caused by the enemy, but I will say this, that majority of it is, because I know from personal experience, and we can talk about that perhaps another podcast. So we're going to end this here. And as my sweetheart reminded me, we have a new email address. You want to tell them what it is?
Absolutely. Once again, it's keithandkarina25@gmail.com.
And also, we're going to post that on our podcast page. And so we would love to hear from you. You can post your comments, questions, prayer requests, or even perhaps suggestions. And we would definitely love to hear from you and your testimonies.
That's right.
You know, because we're encouraged as well, you know, as hearing from you guys as you are from as hearing from us. So we welcome everybody to write. Now, of course, we'll try to get back to people as soon as we can. But, you know, depending on the number of emails that we receive and things of that nature, we'll do our best. So God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.